Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, December 3rd. Coming up, we'll learn about an upcoming U.S. Supreme Court ruling that could affect transgender Americans of all ages across the country. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The top prosecutor in Springfield is vowing to keep Sean Grayson in jail while he awaits trial for the shooting death of Sonia Massey. Mawa Iqbal reports.
An appellate court last week ruled that former sheriff's deputy Grayson be released from jail while awaiting trial. Grayson has been in custody since July when he shot an unarmed Massey in her home after she had called 911 for help. Massey's father, James Wilburn, spoke after a status hearing in the case.
This appellate court ruling was a serious miscarriage of justice as far as I'm concerned, and we're going to get justice for my daughter. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Sangamon County State's Attorney John Millhiser says he plans to appeal the decision to release Grayson up to the Illinois Supreme Court. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
A top government witness is now facing scrutiny from defense lawyers in the federal corruption trial of former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Dave McKinney has more.
For 4 days, government mole Danny Solis testified how he steered developers with tax work needs to Madigan's law firm to curry political favor with the then speaker. Now, Madigan's legal team is tearing into the former alderman. They confronted Solis with his own tax filings, showing he failed to report more than $600,000 to the IRS in payments funneled through his sister by a state contractor. Things also turned salacious. At one point, Solis was asked about his 2015 stay with other elected officials at that contractor's Puerto Rican home. Solis confirmed it was a marijuana-infused romp with prostitutes. Asked who paid for the sex workers, Solis told jurors, "We took up a collection." Reporting from the Dirksen Federal Building, this is Dave McKinney.
Starting this school year, Illinois high school students have been required to learn about the dangers of fentanyl. Peter Medlin has more on what those lessons look like.
In health classes, they'll learn how to detect fentanyl in drugs and how to save someone from an overdose. Betsy Zimmerman is with the DeKalb School District.
The more kids hear a message, the more likely they will remember it or act on it. I think it's really important that we're doing it each year.
Instructors will show students how to use test strips and how to administer naloxone or Narcan, the medication used to reverse opioid overdoses. Zimmerman says their school nurse has already been leading fentanyl education lessons, not just at the high school, but at the middle school level too. She says they already had drug and opioid lessons on the books so they could weave in the fentanyl instruction. I'm Peter Medlin.
Still to come, we'll learn about an upcoming U.S. Supreme Court ruling that could affect transgender Americans of all ages across the country. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly sunny skies with a high of 30 degrees and a southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 22 degrees, southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, windy, and warmer with a high of 44 degrees, southwest wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and windy with a low of 12 degrees, northwest wind 20 to 25 miles per hour. And for Thursday, sunny and colder with a high of 22 degrees and a northwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, it's Giving Tuesday, and one way people give back to their communities is through volunteering. We'll talk with a researcher about trends across the country, and we'll hear from some of the Illinois organizations that rely on volunteers to carry out their work. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. On Wednesday, the U.S. Supreme Court will take up one of the most hot-button health care issues right now, medical care for transgender youth. The Biden administration is suing on behalf of trans youth and their families in Tennessee over the state's gender-affirming care ban in a case known as U.S. versus Scrimeti. The court's ruling could affect transgender Americans of all ages across the U.S. Side Effects Public Media's Lizzie McGreevy spoke with Trade-Offs producer Ryan Levy about that.
Can you start off by defining gender-affirming care for us?
Yeah. So gender-affirming care really kind of encompasses several different kinds of medical care that help someone's physical appearance line up with their gender identity. Things like puberty-blocking medications, hormone therapy, and then in rare cases, gender-affirming surgeries.
Can you give us an update on what medical experts are saying about gender-affirming care for minors?
Yeah, so the evidence here is hotly debated, very contentious. What we can say is that, you know, almost every major medical group in the U.S. supports gender-affirming care for minors. You know, studies have shown that hormone therapy in particular leads to reductions in depression, anxiety, and suicidality. On the other side, though, opponents of gender-affirming care say that those studies are poor quality, that the evidence overall remains unclear. There are just too many unknowns. And they also say that this care can cause physical and psychological harm. But the uncertainty there has been enough for policymakers in the UK, several European countries, and obviously many states here to restrict or ban this care.
So there's a lot of uncertainty about this, it sounds like. But in the meantime, the Supreme Court will take up this U.S. versus Scrimeti case. What are opponents of Tennessee's ban saying about this?
Yeah, so they say that this is a clear example of sex discrimination. And that's important because in the legal world, if a state passes a law that treats people differently based on their sex, there is a higher burden, a higher bar that the state has to clear to prove that there's a good reason to have that kind of discriminatory law. So Katie Iyer is a law professor at Rutgers, and she's put it this way.
There really is no way for a doctor to decide who is going to get access to care without looking at the sex of the patient. So that's really just straightforward differential treatment of people for the same treatments based on what sex they are.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that not all legal experts agree with Katie on this. What else are you hearing?
Yeah, so the other side, Lizzie, says that this is not about sex. This is about things that the state does all the time, regulating what kids can do and regulating what medical care can happen in their states. And so Jim Blumstein, who is a law professor at Vanderbilt University, put it this way.
There are certain things kids can't do. They can't vote. They can't drive a car and can't get married. Parents cannot say to a child, you don't have to go to school. Then the government can make you go to school.
The Supreme Court will hear this case in December, and I'm sure they'll hear from a lot more people. What are the different outcomes and scenarios that we can expect?
They could rule for the federal government and strike down the law. That would likely lead to the end of these kind of blanket bans across the country. They could side with Tennessee and uphold the law. That would, in addition to keeping these gender-affirming care bans in place, that could also provide some more legal support to other laws targeting the transgender community. There's also some concern from legal scholars that a ruling for Tennessee could threaten federal anti-discrimination protections for transgender patients, as well as opening the door to states banning gender-affirming care for adults, which we've already seen be attempted in Florida and Missouri. And the third option here is a bit more of like a middle of the road approach. And this would involve the Supreme Court saying that, yes, this law is an example of sex discrimination. So it requires that higher level of proof. But they would send the case back down to a lower court to actually decide whether this law meets that higher level. You know, President-elect Trump and what his administration could do, they could change the federal government's position on this. Which could open the door to the justices on the Supreme Court dismissing the case and avoiding making any kind of ruling. The election definitely throws another wrinkle into this case.
That was Side Effects Public Media's Lizzie McGreevy talking to Trade-Off's producer Ryan Levy. Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Dave McKinney, Peter Medlin, and Ryan Levy. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.